world famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, a speedball of hillbilly humor here for you and yours each and every night. And, of course, it is a show that goes places other talk shows wish they could go, but they can't. And we just continue to press on regardless, in the words of Russ Wheeler, a guy I worked with 30 years ago. But I got to, you know, attribute that, right?
They'll get upset, you know.
No, I attribute everything, which is why you don't hear me attributing an awful lot on this show, because most of it I created myself. All right, now...
Right, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. All right, coming up, we have Pastor William Renick. Many people have wanted to hear from Pastor Renick on his travel to Mexico. And the reason why we mention that is because, as you know, Mexico has been a place of a great turmoil of late, and I really love that country, and I've visited there often and enjoy myself when I go there, but it's been a place of turmoil and I dare say some danger. We're going to talk to Pastor William Renick, who went on one of his pastoral visits to Mexico recently to find out the lay of the land there. Our number is 877, excuse me, I did a stutter step there, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, and we're also online at philhenryshow.com, and if you go to our website, like for instance, posted there right now is something that people were requesting. What is that music you play during what we now call our pre-show Phil's Letter to the World? Well, we now post the music there. And our pre-show starts at 9:15 Pacific, 12:15 Eastern. If you have a backstage pass, you can enjoy me, if you call that enjoying something. I don't know.
That sounds like sexual. So.
Don't worry about it, okay?
What?
Don't worry about it. You can, with a backstage pass, you can enjoy the show starting at 9:15 on our video cast. We have live streaming video as well. So please do. Also, episode 9 of the Free Phil Henry podcast has now been posted. You can access that via the Phil Henry new podcast link that you will find there on our homepage at philhenryradio.com. Pastor William Renick is the spiritual leader there of Joyful Union Congregation in Bellflower, California. He's a frequent contributor to our program on matters having to do with, I'd like to say religious or spiritual, Pastor Renick, but really you are just an advisor, and I think it's more appropriate. You sort of check in on things that are human, you know.
That's how I like to see it, Phil. You know, I'm glad you clarified that. I'm glad you separate that out, because I love to. I don't want to talk about just religious things, and I don't even see the life of Jesus Christ. When you talk about the life of Jesus Christ, you talk about the life of the Son of God. I don't see that as a religious topic. I see that as a life topic.
Right.
I see that as a life topic. I see that as a truth topic.
Exactly.
I don't try to limit that in the conversations that I have with people, whether it's in our church, or whether it is anywhere. Like tonight, I'm in our kitchen here, our church kitchen, where we're getting together a number of breakfasts. We're going to serve a pancake breakfast tomorrow to a lot of the people, the indigent people that live in the area here in Bellflower and the outlying areas in the South Bay. That's not religion. You know, that's not spiritual. That is a life and a truth topic. And so that's what we're doing.
When you traveled to Mexico, you were going down there as, you said, part observer and also to carry the spiritual message of your faith.
Let me tell you what we were doing. I went down, Clara, and we went because we wanted to travel to as far as we could go into the southern part of the country. That's not to say anything other than to say I wanted to get as far away from the U.S. border and as far away from America and immerse myself in this country, its culture, its people. And there's a people, you said it, Phil, there's a people that are suffering very greatly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're suffering very greatly at the hands of, you have like criminal enterprises, you have these drug dealers, these dope dealers, you have the murder gang, you have corrupt police in many instances. You've got a government that is not sure which direction it should turn. And it's a little bit many times you've got these politicians trying to fight this war with, you know, one hand tied around the you-know-what. You know, I'm not going to say, but this to me. So we landed
Where did you land and where did you travel to?
We landed at the airport there, Puerto Vallarta Airport. And we traveled by car. Immediately got into a van, a car. And we had a driver. And I was there also with Mr. Rayford, Pastor Rayford. Nelson Rayford, he and his wife were with us. And we decided to head as far south as we could to a village down there called De Loreto.
What is it again?
De Loreto. De Loreto.
Okay.
And we headed south. And I can tell you, Phil, if you're traveling in Mexico and you're coming down that highway going south of Mexico out of the Puerto Vallarta area, you are going to be encountering all kinds of dangerous situations. I can tell you at this time, as we headed south and as we got further and further south into and away from, you know, the build-up and more civilized there, I shouldn't say civilized, but the build-up areas, and going down into the poorer and poorer areas, you know, there was less opportunity for us to, you know, get things we might be used to, food, water, this kind of thing.
Well, now, how far out of off the main road were you?
We're going down that main road, yeah.
And I know I've been down that road. There's
Well, you might have been down the road, but if when I say that we didn't have the things you can get in a more built-up area, I'm not saying there weren't little grocery stores or anything like that.
Yeah, no, there's shops, and I guess there's the odd little bar or something.
Right. Well, but what I'm saying is this: when you get out of the car to go into those shops, you're not necessarily seeing people that are going to embrace you as a friend or putting the best foot forward. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So we continued traveling down. We continued, and I felt myself getting more and more nervous. And I felt myself getting more and more frightened than I know the Clara was. And then we saw something that I don't think any of us anticipated. And I will hold on telling you about that if you want to go. Did you want to do a commercial?
No, we don't have to do a commercial. Is it something you...
I was going to hold off and tell people about this after the commercial break, because it was the beginning of a sort of private hell that I lived through and that I'm sure other people in the car lived through.
Well, we've got, if you don't mind, we've got a couple of minutes before the break.
All right, I have no problem, Phil. We drove, and then I saw something I have never seen before in my life, and I told myself just one word. All I said was one word to myself. I said Mexico. And I said a little bit of a prayer, because we were stopped by a man who was wearing a helmet. He was in his army uniform, and off the side of the road to my left, pointing in our direction, I'm not saying it was pointed at me, but they was pointing, was a machine gun, sandbags, and it was obviously the Mexican military. Now, I've never seen in any civilized country. And it was then that I knew that we've got to watch out.
It was the army who was there, yeah.
Right. We continued on, and they had asked for, you know, where you going. They said some things. I don't know what our driver said to them, but it was enough to allow us through. And I was, what's the word they used, Phil? I was sweating bullets. I came down, and we went down the road some more. Once again. Again, here comes another one. Now you know that you're getting into a part of the country that's dangerous, you know.
Right. Those are Army out their checkpoints, you know.
Hold on for a minute. Just hold on. You know you're getting into a part of the country that's dangerous. And once again, we came up on machine gun. This was in a sandbag.
Right. Yeah.
And well, you're saying it like you know what I'm talking about. Have you seen these?
Yes, I have. Yeah. It's you're right. It's a little disquieting.
No, it's not. No. It's not. What I saw, I don't know if you saw what I saw sandbag, machine gun, soldiers, and you are fighting to death. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand that, yeah. Let's take a break, okay, and hold on, because you're getting into the part of your story. I'm imagining you're going to be getting past these Army checkpoints.
That is exactly right, but the journey down there, Phil, was the most disquieting and frightening of any I've ever taken in my life.
All right, Pastor William Rennick is with us talking about his recent trip in Mexico through, right there you heard him describe a couple of Army checkpoints on his way to deliver a personal spiritual message to the people of Mexico. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back here with Pastor William Renick and your phone calls. We come back here on this Monday night, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Pastor William Renick here and discussing with him a recent trip he took to Mexico, a trip that he took to spread his spiritual message as a pastor, as the religious leader of Joyful Union Congregation. He went there with his wife along with one other minister. And it was a jarring and a frightening, as you have said, Pastor Renick, experience. We're talking with him, and we'll be taking some phone calls of yours as well. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And, of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com. There's so much that I want to ask you. You were traveling south from the Puerto Vallarta airport. You've hit one Army checkpoint. And the fear in the car, as you said, Pastor Renick, was palpable.
Absolutely, Phil. I mean, my wife, Claire, has been with me for a long time. She has been, my wife, Claire, has been my sustenance. You know, she's been my friend. She's been my life's partner, you know. And I don't want to get emotional, but when I see, you know, someone, this man, when we pulled up at this Army checkpoint, and this is a man in an Army uniform, and he come to the, you know, the car window.
Right.
And he said, I was talking to our driver, who obviously spoke Spanish. But I looked out the window to my left. I saw a belt-fed M60 on a tripod that pointed right at me. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That pointed at me. That's a weapon. That's a belt-fed M60 machine gun pointed not only at me, but it's pointed at my wife. And at that moment, I wanted to say to him, you know how it is if you're a husband or you're a father, you see. I'll tell you something. You get that gun pointed at my wife. You get that gun off my wife. I'll turn into Spider-Man, Superman. I will come. I will take that gun, and I will stick it right back up where you most likely got it in the first place, you know. And I'm a man of God, so forgive me, Phil. And
No, I know the feeling.
Forgive me for saying what I said, but I almost want to say to God, please forgive me what I'm about to do. I want to get out of this car, and I want to go to that sandbank, and I'll go to that Mexican and say, you know what, I'm going to take that gun. I'm going to wrap that right around your mama's head, not you, but your mom. I'll go find your mother. That's how angry I was that man would take a machine gun.
It's their job, Pastor Renick.
What does that mean? It's their job.
It's what those soldiers have to do. They're those checkpoints in Mexico.
Let me tell you something. I'm on my way to deliver the word of Jesus Christ to the people of Mexico, and the Mexican army come on the road at the road that I'm going on, and they set up a machine gun. Is that how much they hate Jesus?
No, sir. No, the Mexican army has those checkpoints because it's a violent situation in Mexico. And
let me tell you something. By the violence, I know all about the dope deal. I know it all. But at the moment that we arrived at that checkpoint, Phil, all I saw was a machine gun pointing at my wife. And
well, I mean, it's pointed at you.
No, that's the point that I'm trying to make. And please bear with me. I could see where that machine gun was pointed. It was aimed right at Clara. It was not aimed at me. It was not aimed at Pastor Holman. It was not aimed at Pastor Holman's wife. It was not aimed at the driver. It was aimed directly at Clara. And
well, you know they're not aiming it at her.
I'm not saying they're doing it. You got to listen to what I'm saying. I'm not saying they're doing it on purpose. I'm saying that just so happened was aimed at my wife, and I wanted to get out of that car and go over to that soldier and say, excuse me, but you're not going to need this no more because you will die. As soon as I turn it around on its tripod, belt feed a few more rounds into it, and go to work. Now, that's how I felt. And I don't want you to tell me. me I don't have no right to my feelings, Phil.
I'm not saying that, Pastor. What I'm saying is...
Well, you're telling me that I got no rights to my feelings here. This is my wife.
No, sir, I'm not. I'm saying that the Mexican army is not aiming that at your wife. They're not aiming anything at anybody other than the rebels or drug dealers or who it is that they are attempting to interdict so that tourists and...
I'm not no tourist.
No, I understand that. But anybody traveling in the country, anyone traveling from out of the country inside Mexico, anybody, Mexican citizens, you know, are doing it safely because of the violence that has visited itself on that country.
Well, let me tell you the violence that has visited itself on Pastor William Renick. Let's talk about that, okay? I know all about the violence that got visited on Mexico. I want to talk about a little bit now about the violence that got visited on Pastor William Renick, because some violence got visited on me. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand, sir.
All right. Now we go through that other army checkpoint. We keep going and going and going. And we go through a third. And I, at that point, I was so frightened. And my wife was so frightened by these army and the machine gun they had. I wanted to jump out of the car and run. That's how I felt. You have to understand what I'm saying. I was so scared.
So it didn't matter to you?
Hold on for a minute, though.
No, but it didn't matter to you that these were Mexican army guys?
All I know is this. I'm down there to visit the people of Mexico and deliver the message of Jesus Christ. And all that the Mexican army wants to do to me is scare me half to death. By the time we got to that third checkpoint, I wanted to leap out of that car and start running into the jungle to get away from what I saw as a very serious threat.
Well, okay, and what about your wife?
That's what I'm saying to you. At that point, I was so terrorized by these Mexicans that I was going to leave my wife. I was going to leave Clara. I was going to leave her. And she could get machine gunned by that Mexican because I didn't care anymore. I got to the point where I didn't give a damn. Excuse my language, but that's even where I got. So you see, that was such a terrifying experience. I lost all faith in Jesus Christ.
Well, you can't do that as a man of the cloth.
Excuse me, Phil. Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Who are you to tell me what I can or can't do?
But if you're a representative, if you're a minister...
Yes, I am a minister. But you don't understand what a Mexican did to me by having a machine gun pointed at my wife. And
by having a machine gun pointed... Don't you say, if you're a man of faith...
Whoa. Please don't. Phil, please don't do that. Don't try to start telling me all about it, how it all breaks down. Because I know how it all breaks down. And how it all broke down for me on that fateful day, as we came up to Army Checkpoint 3, I said, God forgive me. Please, go ahead and you can open up on Clara. I've got to get out of here. God help me for saying that. But I don't care if you open up on her. If you take that whole car and make it look like if you saw that movie I saw it the other night, Bonnie and Clyde movie. Have you ever seen a Bonnie and Clyde car, Phil?
Yes, I have.
God forgive me for saying this. I didn't care if that car that was taking me down to talk the message of Jesus Christ to the Mexican people, if it looked like the Bonnie and Clyde car when he got done with it, I had to get out of there.
I don't see how any of this is acting like a man of faith.
I'm telling you, there comes a time when the forces of the devil are going to put you on the run. I was about to start sprinting into a jungle. I had to get away.
Let me get a phone call here, okay?
What's that?
I've got to get a phone call up here. I got Jack on the line here, 877-876-PHIL. Jack on the line here with us from Denver. Go ahead, Jack. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, hi, Phil. Listen, I talked to this man, Pastor Renick. I wanted to echo what Mr. Hendry was saying. Why didn't you have enough of the faith in God to stay in the car not start to run away from the machine gun?
Well, I did not. Sir, you understand, I didn't jump out of the car and start running. I said I wanted to.
But Phil said, why didn't you have enough of the faith to stay in the car?
Stay in the car, sir, and you want me to stay in the car and get machine gunned by the Mexican when I've got a clear shot to the jungle?
No, but why did you even think such a thing? Was your wife hurt?
No, my wife is not hurt, sir. And my wife is not hurt because I had that faith. I'm saying to you that it was so frightening in Mexico that I wanted to take off and sprint and find cover in the jungle until dark fell and I could maybe get out on the road and make my way south
under the cover doctors. That doesn't sound like someone who has a paper.
All right, hold on. We got to take a break here. 877-876-PHIL. That's Jack talking to Pastor William Renick, who was frightened to death in his recent trip to Mexico by these army checkpoints. We'll be back to find out the culmination of this journey here. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Still got Jack on the line here, 877-876-PHIL, and I've got Pastor William Renick from Joyful Union Congregation. And Jack, go ahead and finish up. I want to get a little more of the pastor's story.
Okay. All I wanted to say, Phil, to this pastor Renick is, I don't understand this fear. If you are a man of God, you believe in God, then why you would leap from your car to run to the jungle and to play into, for instance, that's a stereotype who's going to play into. What do you mean by, I don't understand what you mean by stereotype. Well, if you're a black man running into a jungle. Hey, look at it.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I'll tell you what it means. It's trying to be racial. And no, sir, I'm not to be racial. This came to my mind. It sounds to me like you don't even come from America, so you might not be aware of the sensitivity of some of the things you're saying. I'm not saying anything bad. You are saying something bad. You tell me, Pastor William Renick should jump and run. If I jump and ran into the jungle, I'll run through the jungle. But you know that song by Creedence Clearwater Revival? I'm sorry, what? Do you know a song as Creedence Clearwater Revival?
I know the song.
But what is it?
The run through the jungle?
Yes, sir. And if Pastor Renick was to run... You know, they do that as a soundtrack to the life of Pastor Renick, a run through the jungle, you know? So when people...
All right, I cut him off. He sounded like a dumbass.
A dumbass? God, Phil, I can't believe that you let that man on the air as long as you did. I can't believe you let that man on the air as long as you did.
I apologize, but he sounds to me like he might have been sincere.
Sincere about what?
Some run through the jungle thing. He said that if you got out of the car, you didn't get out of the car.
I did not get out of that car, but let me tell you something. Had I gotten out of that car and had I run for my life, no man alive could say I'd done the wrong thing. I don't believe I did do the wrong thing.
I believe, now you're going to hear from me here.
Go ahead. Phil, I love you and I want to hear your opinion. You know I love you, right?
I do, Pastor, but, you know, I've got some things to say here that you might not like.
I'm fine with what you have to say to me. I have no problem with what you have to say if it is said with love and it is said with a belief in the truth.
What I'm trying to say to you is you went through three Army checkpoints that were there for your protection, to be honest with you.
You're right there. You don't know your... Excuse me for saying I'm a man of God, but you don't know your ass. And I just said it. And I said that with the blessings of God. I know I did. I know I just said ass with God's blessing. And I know if you say ass...
Okay, what is your point?
My point is, you don't know your ass from a hole in the ground. What I'm trying to tell you, Phil, is when I pulled up to that Army checkpoint, it might be there for certain people, but for myself and for Claire and for the other pastor, that Army checkpoint in Mexico, they don't want me taking Jesus' word down to the people because they had a machine gun that put fear into me. And I'll tell you something right now. If I truly was supposed to trust those people, God would not have said to me... God told me there's something wrong here. And if I give you the high sign, you got to bolt from the car and head for that clearing.
And God told you that?
Yes, God told me that. God told me this, Phil, as I traveled through Mexico. God told me this, Phil, as I came upon the Army checkpoint. God told me this, Phil, as I seen that M60 on a tripod, that belt-fed M60. That machine gun made in the United States of America, and you know as well as I do, the American Army and American arms makers supply all this to the Mexicans. And so they have a great deal of experience in Mexico, in the United States, I mean, cutting down a man of color.
And oh, come on. Look, do we have to go there?
I'm just telling you. But God told me, he said, when I give you the high sign, I want you to bolt.
I don't care whether that machine gun pointed at Claire. It don't make no... Never mind to me. Claire's going to be fine. I want you both. And I want you one clear. You get to that clearing, lay down, wait for the high sign.
Who? What is this?
What do you mean, what is... I just got done telling you. It's God...
It's God giving you... God's talking to you.
Yeah, God's telling me this.
God's telling you, bolt from the car, get to the clearing, wait for the high sign.
Yes! Oh, okay, so in other words, Phil, here we go. This I always love this point of the Phil Henry Show. This is the point in the interview where Phil now gets to roll his eyes, give me the curled lip routine, and behind my back, you're calling me nuts, aren't you?
No, I'm not, but I'll tell...
Yes, you are, behind my back! You call me nuts. Let me tell you something, Phil.
No, I am not calling you nuts behind your back. I am saying, though... That sometimes we have thoughts that we think God has put into our head.
Well, hold on for a minute now. You played a song.
No, I've got to get some calls, and I've heard enough from you, and I need to get some phone calls up here. Do you mind?
No, do I mind? No, I don't mind at all, Phil. I'm not afraid of anything. In the words of Martin Luther King, I fear no man. All right?
Okay, let's keep Martin Luther King's name out of this, and let's just continue to press forward with this description of you in Mexico.
Out of it. Why do I keep my...
I don't want Martin Luther King's name dragged through this. This is a discussion the likes of which I'm not really clear about, okay? 877...
What do you mean drag? Phil, I'm not trying to...
Hold on. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We've got Professor Emory Clayton on the line with us here from California tonight, Canyon College. Professor, meet Pastor Rennick.
The Pastor Rennick, how are you? It's Professor Emory Clayton, sir. How are you? I'm doing fine. You're talking about my trip to Mexico. I understand that, and I listened to the interview as Phil has been conducting this. Phil, I must say, I don't have a problem with what you've been saying tonight. I think a great many of the things you've said tonight need to be said, and that is that there's some overreaction going on. Now, I'm the first man, believe me, I'm the first man to say... that the indigenous peoples, the people, the third world people, especially the Mesquite peoples and the lower class Mexican people in Mexico, I'm the first man to say that they have been trod on and they have been stoved in.
Right.
And they have been worked over.
Yeah.
And they have been touched and grabbed and pushed and pulled. And they have been the victims of the power play between these large technocratic and super economic systems.
Yeah!
I'm the first man to say that, but I have to tell you, Pastor Rennick, I'm not in agreement with you here when you say that you had to bolt and you want to run through the jungle like some kind of swamp-running, jungle-running...
Hold on. Now, you misunderstand what I'm saying entirely, okay?
But if I'm misunderstanding something, please tell me, because I think you're a disgrace.
How am I a disgrace?
You a disgrace. You talk about swamp running, tree climbing.
He didn't say that, Professor Clayton. He said...
Oh, hold on, Phil. I'm the first man in line behind Pastor Rennick in my respect for you. I think you've been a fair man, but hold on, okay? These are two black men talking to each other, and I need you for just a moment, okay?
Phil, I'll catch you. I'll catch you after the conversation, Phil. I got to talk here.
And we ain't going to catch him or nothing. I'm telling you. That you had a woman in that car. Did you have a beautiful black woman in that car with you, your wife, Clara?
You better believe I did.
And you were going to bolt and run to a clearing and wait for a word from a supernatural, invisible boogeyman. Was that what you were
going to
do?
Oh, let me tell you something, my man.
That's what you were going to do, wait for the word from the invisible boogeyman, huh? Now, let me tell you something.
Tell me nothing. I'm going to tell you. I was not going to leave my wife. Yes, okay, I was going to a clear... First of all, you ever heard of having to relieve yourself?
And now you're trying to tell me that you had to go to the bathroom. You come up with every kind of concoction, every kind of silly story. I'm sick and tired. A list of people like you making excuses. You understand me? You went down there to speak to those indigenous peoples and deliver to them the message that you wanted to deliver. Why didn't you do that instead of you thinking about saving your own hide? Running from the Mexican machine gun supplied by the U.S. super military, I understand that.
You're talking like an idiot now.
I'm not talking like an idiot. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to an idiot. There's a difference between talking like an idiot and talking to an idiot. And I'm talking to an idiot.
You can insult me all you want, brother. Let me tell you something. I saw an M60. You saw an M60. I was in Vietnam. I know exactly what an M60 going to do. I know how to point one. I know how to fire one. I know how to belt feed one. And they had that gun pointed down the road past your car. They're not a word about you and your silly little party of people going down to, and probably going to some hotel.
That's exactly right.
I'm going down to a beautiful hotel called Mariposa de Oro, which is where we had reservations. And guess what? Guess what? You got to check in by 6. You want to get turn down service. Now, all that stuff doesn't make any mind to you. You don't care about that. But to get your turn down service. Is that it?
Wait. Hold on for a minute.
Did you hear that?
Hold on. Wait a minute. Turn down service, check it into a hotel. I thought you were going down there to tell your message to the people, the religious message.
Yes, exactly what I was going to do. Exactly. Now, hold on, because you let this man run his big fat mouth. What, Bill? I've had all I can take of this, Phil. I've had all I can stand of this. I'm going to hang my phone up, and I'm not going to turn my radio up. I'm going to turn my radio down. I'm going to hang my phone up. I'm going to take a walk. I'm going to go away from this, because it makes me sick to my stomach. Turn that mess off on the radio. Yeah, see, look, that's the kind of guts he got.
All right, well, you know something, Pastor? Were you on your way to a hotel down there, or were you not?
Yes, I wasn't, Phil, because I was thinking about sleeping in the car for the night. Of course I was. I was going to a hotel. And I was going down to that hotel because I wanted to practice. I wanted to practice the message that I was going to deliver to the people the next day, as soon as I was able to settle in, and as soon as I was able to get everything organized, I was going to tell the people what I wanted to say to them. And that's what I couldn't get out. That's what I wasn't able to tell you or tell anybody. Because that loudmouth, motor mouth, Clayton Emery and all them other people wouldn't let me get the message out. The message is a simple one, Phil. The message has been a long time coming. I even hired a piano player. I hired a tambourine player. I hired a bass player, drummer. I even hired Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes to sing along with me. As I was going to sing this song for you and everybody out there in America. It goes something like this. Harold, Blue Notes, you with me?
Will you get to the song?
Sorry. I'm just waiting for the buildup.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed.
Yeah.
No more back thinking.
No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead.
World has changed so very.
Oh, yeah.
What it used to be.
What are you doing now? Shut up, Clara.
There's so much.
You tell me to shut up. Clara, no.
What happened?
Clara hit me. Oh, yeah.
Wake up, all the teachers. Time to teach a new
got
way.
Got to teach a new way, you know.
Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to
maybe
say.
Maybe they'll listen to what you got to say.
They're the ones who's coming.
So this was going to be your sermon, huh?
And back off, will you, Phil? You woke my permanent heart. Yeah.
Teach them the very best you can.
Now, here's a big part of the message right here. Right here, now. World won't get no bad.
Okay, shut up. God.
Sorry, I got carried away. I got carried away, Phil.
Yeah, you got carried away. Let's take a break, okay?
Yeah, you go ahead and take your break, but I'm going to...
I'm going to take a break, okay?
Take a break. Oh, yeah.
Phil Henry Show, 877-877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back with Pastor William Renick as we continue discussing his trip to Mexico, which I guess went a lot better than he said.
Oh, yeah!
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Tell you what, we're back here with Pastor William Renick. You're traveling through Mexico. You've got these army checkpoints. You're clearly, in my opinion, you overreacted. Hold on, Pastor. I'm not done.
Well, I think that's unfair, Phil.
Hold on. I'm not done. Clearly, I believe you overreacted to the idea that there were army checkpoints in Mexico. There will be. It is a country fraught with internal strife. There's violence. There are armed gangs. The government is trying to get a handle on a bad situation there. So the army checkpoints should have been something you would expect.
Phil, I'm glad you're such an experienced world traveler.
Well, no, Pastor, that's not it at all. Then you're looking to bolt from the car to save your wife. To save your own life.
No, you had it right at first. I bolted from the car to save my life, but save my wife, because I realize if I bolt from the car, it will draw their machine gun fire away from her. But at the same time, when I realized it would draw the machine gun fire away from her and onto me, at the same time, you see, I decided, well, that ain't good either. So I didn't bolt.
So you didn't bolt. You stayed in the car, and they would shoot her.
I was thinking of another option. That's when the car took off. I knew they didn't.
Okay, so here's the point. You went down to a hotel.
Well, you're going to call me. I know you're going to call me something that drops out of the butt end of a horse.
No, I wasn't, and hold on for a minute. You were going to stay in the car. You were going where? To a hotel, Mariposa de Oro in Cruz de Laredo. Is that the name of it?
Yeah, that's the name of it. What are you? You got a problem where you're staying? So you got a problem with being staying somewhere nice?
Nice? This is a place that's $1,200 a night. Pastor, it's a luxury hotel.
It is a place that was picked out for me. I don't care about the luxury hotel part. You want to indict me because of a hotel I was staying at. What I'm trying to tell you is that what we had to navigate and what we had to negotiate to get down to this hotel was living hell on this earth that you have decided to minimize or otherwise cast aside as insignificant, Phil. You're saying to me that, well, that doesn't make any difference because where you were going, that's like saying, hey, as long as you're going to get to heaven, who cares what kind of living hell you got to go through? Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, a lot of people go through living hell to get to heaven. I would rather not. Doesn't mean do I have to? I mean,
well, you're the pastor. Why don't you tell me? You know,
Phil, that's dirty pool. That's unfair of you. You got me in a corner now. I'm trying to tell you I had no bad intentions at all. I was simply trying to make my way from the hotel at the airport at Puerto Vallarta down to this very nice hotel without my ass getting shot. But you don't care about that.
Yes, I do care about that.
Then why are you all of a sudden taking side of everybody against me?
Because you're sitting here saying that at one point you decided to bolt from the car because the Mexicans might machine gun Clara, and you didn't want to be around that. You're telling me that you got scared to death concerning the Mexican soldiers in general, and you felt that there was something wrong with that. You didn't have any faith in God. You're exhibiting no real faith in anything here. You're exhibiting just stark raving fear, which gives you the excuse to do just about anything you want, including bolting into the jungle and running there, even though that one guy said that was kind of a racist thing.
Well, that one guy, you didn't say nothing to that guy. That guy sounded like he was Dutch. He had an accent on him, and I'm very good at sounding like a Dutchman or something like that.
So what if he was Dutch?
Because that's a whole other world of white man. Let me tell you something about the Dutch, okay?
What has this got to do with race? You bringing race into this now?
No, hey, who's the guy? He's not a pastor, he's a professor.
Emery Clayton.
Yeah, him. He's the guy that brought race into it. Now, you get a Dutch man on your radio show, Phil. You get a man from Holland on your radio show. Now, you listen to me. And, brother, you're dealing with a whole different kind of white man. That's a whole other kind of breed. Now, I've talked to a lot of white people in my life, some in my church. And I like a lot of them. I like you, Phil. You trying to tell me about a Dutchman? No, thank you.
And what's wrong with a Dutchman?
That's a whole other kind of white. And
well, what does that mean? And you don't even know that the guy was Dutch. 877-876 Phil, talking with Pastor William Rennick. Got a couple of more minutes here. We'll take some more phone calls here. On the line we have Rudy. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Pastor Rennick.
Actually, I've got a couple of questions for this man. Sir, how are you this evening, sir?
I'm good. What's your name, sir?
Yes, sir. My name is Rudy.
Yes, sir.
Sir, I'm not from Mexico. I come from Argentina. But I've listened to you say that Mexican soldiers there...
Where'd you say this from?
Said I'm from Argentina.
Okay.
And the Mexican soldiers there was Phil said they were to protect you from the possibility of bandidos, any of these insurrection forces that drug dealers and the drug cartels that infect Mexico at this particular time. When you got to the hotel, and Mr. Henry said they say $1,200 a night, it seems to me that I would put up with a great deal to go to a hotel like that. Okay.
Now, let me tell you about this hotel I went to, though.
I don't think you need to tell me of the hotel that you went to.
No, it was an eco-tourism hotel. Now, listen to me. If you think I had it good just because it's $1,200 a night, you know that this eco-tourism hotel, they don't let you use toilet paper. Now, think about that.
No, sir, that's
they don't let you use what?
They don't even let you use toilet paper because it's bad for the environment. And I got down there and said to Claire, where's the room? Well, they gave us a room. It was a nice room. Had a nice view, all this. But then I said, I can't use toilet paper because it clogs up the... It's going to clog up the birds or something. Wherever the birds eat, there's too much...
It's an aviary, don't it?
Okay, I got to... Thank you very much. Thank you, sir.
But still,
I got to go. Thank you, Pastor William Renick. We'll be... It clogs up the birds. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Lots of news ahead. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. Jerry Sandusky in the news. Oh, man. I'll be glad when that's done. And also, these hackers arrested by the FBI, and they're now attempting their extradition. We got that and more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.